Meditation.
Meditation.
Sutsamahitaha.
Sutsamahitaha.
In perfect discipline.
In perfect discipline.
Tena.
Tena.
For that reason.
For that reason.
Kidayase.
Kidayase.
Gives pain.
Gives pain.
Naha.
Naha.
Ourselves.
Ourselves.
Tvam.
Tvam.
Your good self.
Your good self.
Para.
Para.
The ultimate truth.
The ultimate truth.
Shankam.
Shankam.
Doubts.
Doubts.
Cha. And. Yachchasi.
Giving us a chance.
Yet, we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you. When we think of your great austerities in perfect discipline, although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation, purport. Following in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni, one should not blindly accept his spiritual master as God himself. A spiritual master is duly respected on a par with God. But a spiritual master claiming to be God himself should at once be rejected. Narada Muni accepted Brahma as the Supreme due to Lord Brahma's wonderful acts in creation, but doubts arose in him when he saw that Lord Brahma also worshipped some superior authority. The Supreme is supreme, and he has no worshipable superior. If you're not supreme, then you're not supreme. The Ahangraho Pashita, or the one who worships himself with the idea of becoming God himself, is misleading. But the intelligent disciple can at once detect that the Supreme God does not need to worship anyone, including himself, in order to become God. One doesn't become God. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So we're eternal. So we're who we are eternally. Ahangraho Pashana may be one of the processes for transcendental realization. Maybe. But the Ahangraho Pashita can never be God himself. No one becomes God by undergoing a process of transcendental realization. Narada Muni thought of Brahmaji as the Supreme Person, but when he saw Brahmaji engaged in the process of transcendental realization, doubts arose in him. Shankam. So he wanted to be clearly informed. Om Jnanati Mirandasyaha Kananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, It's the nature of the soul to be inquisitive. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. When we come to the human form of life, it's the nature of the soul to inquire about his or her real position. Beyond the influence of the material, everything we see within the creation is a combination of material and spiritual. But influenced by the material energy, it's very difficult to perceive the spiritual separate from the material, to clearly understand the difference between both. This is the purpose. This is knowledge. Knowledge is to understand what is matter and what is spirit. And to be able to distinguish between the two is real learning. Vijnana. And then as a consequence, then knowing how to act based on spiritual principles. If we're not the body, we're spiritual by nature, then we should act on that platform rather than be influenced by the material energy and enamored by it, one becomes bound to repeated birth and death, seeking happiness in material existence. So as was mentioned in the Bhagavatam, seriously inquisitive. Very important. One has to be seriously inquisitive. And that, as Prabhupada says, that, you know, that characteristic is exemplified by Sanatan Goswami when he approached Lord Chaitanya. And he was saying, you know, I think I'm very learned, which most people do. We're afflicted by the four defects. With just the cheating propensity. So even though we're in ignorance, we still think we're very learned. But most people will have an opinion on something or everything. I reckon, I think, I suppose, which all indicates that actually you don't really know. So, you know, seriously inquisitive is very important. There have been some interviews on ABC television with Kerry O'Brien, who is he's been one of the leading current affairs commentators and political journalists. I guess you could say he's a journalist, but he's well known for his interviewing skills. And he's interviewing Paul Keating, who was a very, very successful politician in the 80s. And one of the things that Paul Keating was, Paul Keating went to school, left school when he was 14. Yet he became a very interesting character. You know, grew up in the western suburbs of Sydney, Bankstown. So, you know, not the best. He grew up on the wrong side of the railway tracks, in one sense, but became the leader of the country. One of his characteristics that he had was that he was involved in the Labour Party as a youth, as a child actually. His parents were involved in the Labour Party, so he was steeped in the culture. But he early on in life discovered that if you wanted to find out things, if you wanted to know what was going on, then you had to go and inquire from people who knew. Very interesting. Left school at 14, yet he was a very powerful and influential, a very good speaker into classical music. An interesting character. But he had this. He would recognise individuals within the political landscape, and then he would go and inquire from them, and basically, he says, pick their brains. So if you want to find out something, then you go and find a qualified person to inquire from. I also experience, you know, and this is a principle in material affairs as it is in spiritual affairs, of course more so in spiritual affairs. More so. More important, because that's our parampara, that's the parampara system, and that's what's being demonstrated here by Narada Muni and Lord Brahma. If there's some doubt, actually what does Prabhupada say? If one thinks that he's above asking the spiritual master's advice, then he's an offender. Anybody recall that phrase? Prabhupada, I was reading it the other day. Right? So if we have doubts, we should inquire. We should inquire from the right person. So Narada Muni has doubts. Sanatana Goswami had doubts. You know, they tell me that I'm a very learned person. They call me pundit. But if I'm so learned, why am I suffering? But people don't even know that they're suffering. This is the part of, you know, one of the problems. The problem of material existence is that we're here to enjoy. And even though people are suffering, they think they're enjoying. Right? So very hard to convince somebody who thinks they're enjoying that actually they're suffering. What's the example that Prabhupada uses, the Bhagavatam uses, to illustrate somebody who thinks they're enjoying when actually they're suffering? Camel? Yeah, I wasn't thinking of the camel, but you're right. One example. What comes first?
Dogs.
No, before the dogs.
Passes.
No, it starts with a H.
Hog.
Hog. The hog is snorting around eating stool, and I tell the story of we went to Govardhan Parikrama one day, and there was this big pile of the bungies that had been cleaning up all the rubbish, and at the intersection as you come in there's this big pile of rubbish, and on the top of the rubbish was a big hog sleeping. This stinky pile of rubbish. He's in hog heaven. But you know, you look at the hog, and he's living in these horrible, but he's snorting through all the stool, and his tail's wagging, you know, to see that, and the tail's wagging, and he's thinking something, and we're looking at him and think, oh, you disgusting creature. But he thinks he's having fun. He's enjoying. But we can see from a higher perspective that actually he's suffering. This is why we have to have compassion for others. And what we have to be very, very patient. Also, we sometimes have to be... Well, speaking of being patient with others, we have to be patient with ourselves. Because we still have that... Well, I don't know about... Maybe you don't, but I certainly still have the hog-like propensities. Right? This tendency to want to enjoy the material is deeply ingrained in our nature, in our being, because of so many lifetimes in the material world. You know, after so many attempts to enjoy and so much suffering, then we think, I want to get out. Right? This is what people think. They think, I had an interesting telephone call last night from somebody in Zurich. And he just wanted to talk to someone at the Hare Krishna temple. So they, okay, yes. He said, have you got a moment? Isn't that amazing, eh? Calling from Zurich. I said, where are you calling from? He said, Europe. I said, whereabouts in Europe? So eventually I said, why don't you just ring up the local Hare Krishna temple and talk to them? He said, oh, nobody's awake. I said, what's the time there? He said, 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, oh, no, they'll be awake. Probably wouldn't get anybody to answer the phone at 8 o'clock in the morning, though. But then he wanted to talk, and the reason why he was... He wanted to know whether committing suicide was an option. Right? Because he's depressed and couldn't see any value in life. I'm quite sick. He sounded quite unhappy. And so somehow, actually, by good fortune, he knew that he should inquire. Right? So much so that he decides to pick up the phone in Europe and ring up the Hare Krishna temple in Melbourne. And I was telling him, there's no point in... This is the thing, you know, we think that by killing ourselves, we're going to make a better situation and get rid of our suffering. But this is the problem with the material world. We seek material solutions, but they just make everything worse. The material solutions make life more problematic. You have to be... One has to tolerate one's karma. The reactions. This is Lord Brahma's instruction. Right? We have to tolerate it. Material adjustments don't solve the problem. Material adjustments just compound the problem. I know. Material adjustments just make the problem worse. So, you know, killing yourself, killing the body at least, doesn't create a better situation for yourself. This is ignorant. This is real ignorance, thinking that one is the body. We destroy the body, then our problems go away. But they don't go away, because you're not the body for a start. You're spiritual by nature. But anyway, his good fortune that he rang up the Hare Krishna temple and got to speak to a devotee. He obviously had been talking to the devotees already. He had to tell me to keep slow. I was talking too fast. hard to understand my accent. But the principle is good, or that principle, you know, inquiring. Of course, inquiry is good, but then one has to act also. That's also very important. Not that we keep on going on asking questions, asking questions, asking questions, asking questions, you know. You get tired of talking to somebody after a while. Because, you know, they have to... Inquiry means also receiving the message, the information, the knowledge. There has to be a knowledge transfer. And, you know, that's what this is really what we're about. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant for transferring knowledge to others. This is the duty of the brahmanas, isn't it? Inquiry means receiving the knowledge. So one has to be a sincerely inquisitive, which means, you know, not that we just keep on asking questions, asking questions, asking questions, on and on and on, and then not doing anything. More than one sense, we test a person's realization by their actions. Also, by how they speak, what they say, and you know that what they say is in the form of questions. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, you know, his only question to his guru was, how can I serve you? That's really the effective question that we should be asking. Because that's the means by which we get out, by following the instruction of the spiritual master. You know, the spiritual master is the representative of God. This is the unique applicability of the parampara system. Krishna manifests in the form of the spiritual master to instruct us according to our situation, according to the time, place, and circumstance, kala, desha, patra. The spiritual master must be able to know the nature of the disciple in order to engage them appropriately in devotional service. So in that way, you know, this is one of the reasons why there are so many different religious systems, if you like. You know, people say, why is there so much religion? It creates too much confusion. They're fighting with each other. And the reason why there are so many different religious systems is because there are so many different cultures, so many different combinations. You know, like Prabhupada says, of the modes of material nature are like the primary colours, and when you blend them in different ways, then you get different colours. Right? So the combination of the colours is like the combination of the three modes of material nature. And they can be mixed in, you know, almost, well, certainly in such a quantity, in such a variety of ways, that it appears as if they're an unlimited, it's not unlimited, but there's enough to be confusing. So people don't understand. But because there's that variety of colours, complexions, right? We see it, you know, white body, brown body, black body, yellow body, all different types. So that as a consequence, also there comes different psychologies. Actually, the different psychology is what gives us the body. The material body comes around the subtle body. The gross body comes around the subtle body. That's how we get all of these bodies. Because actually the mixing of the subtle energy and the gross energy, the spiritual impetus being the cause of these combinations. So because there's so many varieties of individuals, of cultures, then the representatives of the Lord, the representatives of Krishna, teach differently to elevate each group or each set of personalities from where they are to a higher position. That's the purpose of human form of life, is to go from a lower position to a higher position and keep elevating oneself, elevating and expanding one's consciousness. So one should inquire from the spiritual master, who's acting, as the Prabhupada says here, the spiritual master should be accepted as good as God, but not as God himself. He should be respected as good as, because he by inquiring from the bona fide spiritual master and following his instructions, one will become self-realized. One will be able to see the difference between matter and spirit. And the spiritual master tells us how to act on that platform. Even if we're not fully realized or even fully active by following the instructions of this is what Prabhupada says, you know, the order of the spiritual master, the pride of the disciple. Because through engaging in those activities, one is sure to be pleasing Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. This is why service to the devotees is considered higher than direct service to God himself. Because by pleasing Krishna's devotees, one will please Krishna himself. So one needs to inquire from the spiritual master, then act on those instructions. We respect the spiritual master as, you know, sometimes even great devotees are called Bhagavan. Lord Brahma is described as Bhagavan in the scripture. Lord Shiva is also described as Bhagavan. Not because he is Bhagavan, but because he's as elevated as Bhagavan. He has the transcendental qualifications, the qualities, the characteristics. This is our philosophy, actually. Achincha Veda Abheda Tattva. We're simultaneous. So in one sense we can say, yes, we are God. Right? In one sense we can say that. Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Hare Krishna says it. The living entities are part of me. So if we're part of God, that means we're like God. And we are. But as Prabhupada points out, just as the water of the ocean is liquid and salty and wet, so similarly is the drop of water liquid, salty. Drop of seawater is liquid, salty and wet. So it's the same as the ocean. But in quantity, it's different. So we are the same quality, spiritually of the same quality, and so therefore we can say we're as good as, the living entity is as good as God. And when one acts on that spiritual platform, then one is as good as God. But at the same time, we're different, because he is Vibhu, great, and we are Anu, small. So we are therefore, what is it? We're an Anksha. Is that right? Anksha means portion. Actually, shrunksa, right? Su-anksa. Just like we've actually did. Interesting. Su means, let me see it here. Su-samahitaha. When you put the prefix su in front of something, it makes it what? When you put the prefix su in front of a word, it becomes what? Emphasizes it.
Amplifies.
Yes. Yep. Makes it bigger or better or more powerful. Like, yeah. Alpa. And su-alpa means just a little bit. This is what you have to, when you go to the Indian family's house and they want to give you more prasad. Lila Katara especially. Su-alpa. That's as much as, usually, you know, seconds is twice as much as what you got out of your plate the first time. So su-alpa. So swamsa. Amsa means small, but su-amsa, swamsa, means very, very small. And Krishna's vibhu, big. V also is another, isn't that also another multiplier, isn't it? Vijay. Jai, victory, and vijay, really powerful. So, we are the part and parcel of Krishna, but at the same time, and so therefore, like him. And when a transcendentalist or a devotee becomes fully fixed on that, just like Prabhupada gives the example of the iron rod. If you, iron rod is inert matter, but if you stick it in the fire and heat it up and heat it up and heat it up, it becomes like fire. And so when you touch anything, it burns. So even though it's just matter, it acts like fire and burns. So similarly also, the devotees who are fully engaged in devotional service, they transcend the material platform. And so even, you know, this is one of the reasons why the sannyasis are not cremated, is because their whole life and activities, the tridandi sannyasi means, it means mind, words and actions, all engaged in the service of the Lord. That's what the three sticks in the danda represent. Right? Did you know that? And there's that little stick. Is that the living entity? Yeah. So this is the Paramahamsa, fully engaged in devotional service, and so therefore fully purified. And so in that sense then, recognized as Bhagavan. As Prabhupada says here, one has to be careful. One shouldn't accept the spiritual master as God, but he's as good as God. A spiritual master claiming to be God himself should at once be rejected. Huh? There's this one sannyasi who has temples in India, recently passed away. And, you know, in his temple, you can see there's pictures of Lord Chaitanya, but they put his face on top of the... It's an ISKCON picture, right? But they put his face on. So he's basically saying, I'm Lord Chaitanya. So, you know, when the devotees go into the temple and they see that, and they go, woohoo! Dangerous stuff. Huh? Actually, we would consider that, well, we do, we consider that to be very offensive. You know, it's very offensive to position oneself as being God. As Prabhupada says here, one doesn't become God. God is, if he's supreme, then he remains supreme. He doesn't, you don't become supreme. What kind of supremacy is that? Supreme is supreme always. The supreme personality of Godhead. Personal. A person. Unfortunately, many of the religious traditions of the world are very impersonal. It's interesting how Prabhupada established, you know, there are some of Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Goswami mentions this in his book. There are some trademark terminology that Srila Prabhupada uses. Devotional service, pure devotional service, the supreme personality of Godhead, to define Krishna, you know, to define God. Supreme personality of Godhead. So there's no, you know, the supreme personality of Godhead means no ambiguity. God's kind of amorphous. But Prabhupada was against, you know, that Shunyavad and Nirvashish. Prabhupada wanted people to understand God is a person. We are persons. And God is a person. We are persons because God is a person. How can we have something that God hasn't got? If he's a... This is my argument. Well, not my argument. It's Prabhupada's argument. If you're a person, and if God is the source of everything, then he must have personality. Because how can you have something that he hasn't got? You can't get something from someone if they haven't got it. So the source of everything must be a person, if we are persons. Does that make sense? Maybe too simple for some though. It's too straightforward. Too strong. So we can real, you know, we realize these things by inquiry and then action. And so Narada Muni is inspired to, he has some doubts, and he's inspired to inquire. As I said the other day, very interesting the way he's doing it. It's not a challenging inquiry. It's very, very respectful. You know, we may have doubts. Not we may, we will. We'll have so many doubts. And so the way to clear those doubts is to inquire. But inquire in a proper, you know, in the proper fashion, in the proper way. So Narada Muni is approaching Lord Brahma with submission and appreciation of the position of Lord Brahma. But at the same time, he's seen Lord Brahma is performing austerities, not just austerities, right? Yattapaha. Yattapaha means, is translated here as meditation, right? But what's the word that's used to describe the meditation? Yattapaha. What's the word that's used here that amplifies the meditation? Ghora. What's that mean? Severe. So not just any old meditation, but severe meditation. Was it 1,000 years of the demigods? Was it? 1,000 years of the demigods Lord Brahma was meditating. We have difficulty sitting down for 2 hours to chant our rounds. He was meditating for 1,000 years of the demigods, which is a long time. And as a consequence, then he and in one sense that was his inquiry. In one sense, Lord Brahma's inquiry into what he should do was how would you put it? You know, he didn't know what he should be doing. He was in darkness, in one sense. Everything was in darkness. And he wasn't sure what, you know, he climbed up and down the stem of the lotus, couldn't get to the end of it. And then he was inspired to then sit and meditate. And then as a result of his meditation, as a result of his tapasya, oh, that's right, he heard the sound of the waves slapping on the, you know, in the, what's that? No, it's not the causal. It's not that. This is my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong. It's the water in his navel. Right? This kind of indicates how big his navel is. Right? There's an ocean in his navel. Pretty amazing, yeah? You know, when I first heard these stories, I thought, wow, that's pretty far out. These guys believe this stuff? I know I don't even think about it very much. Lord Brahma couldn't get to the end of it. Even though it is finite, because it's part of the material creation, yet he couldn't get to the end of it. It's so big. So the material creation is so huge and so intricate, so complicated, it's very difficult to get to the end of it. So therefore, he was inspired, tappa, tappa. So he performed that austerity to please the Lord, to realise what he should be doing. So in that sense, that was his inquiry, in one sense. So Narada Muni could see that Brahma was meditating and worshipping somebody else. So he considered there must be somebody superior. So he's respectfully saying, he really appreciates his father's power and potency and position. You know, the spiritual master should be respected, honoured. So Narada Muni is demonstrating this point. We honour him as good as God, not because he is God, and if he says he's God, I am God, then we should, you know, we can understand not qualified. Right? But his honour offered respects. And I've said this many times, when Prabhupada was in Melbourne, he told the reporters, you know, I am collecting obeisances, because people were bowing down. And they say, why are they treating you like you're God? Prabhupada says, no, I'm not God. But I'm acting as God's representative. I collect obeisances like the taxman collects taxes on behalf of the king. So I collect obeisances on behalf of the Supreme Personality, Krishna. But in offering obeisances, we're more or less saying, I'll do what you tell me to do. You know, I'm your servant. Namaha. Namaha. You know what namaha means? Anybody know what namaha means? I offer my obeisances, but literally what does it mean? Na-ma. Not me. It's not me, it's Krishna. Right? So we're offering our respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, when we bow down to the spiritual master, when we bow down to the sannyasis, because they're engaged, you know, the very, very elevated devotees, we bow down to them because they're the representatives of God. So we're recognizing the presence of God. Ultimately, when we pay our obeisances to everybody, then we're recognizing the God's presence in everything. My dear Lord, I offer my respects to you. So we do that because we can't see the Lord directly. We do that to the spiritual master because he's representing the Lord directly. Sakshat Taritvena. Right? Sakshat Taritvena. And we should inquire from him and then act. That's the hard part. There's the test. The real test is after having received the instructions, and one of the qualifications is that one has to be prepared to do things that ordinarily he wouldn't do. Right? We feel like taking it easy, but the devotees say, no, get off your backside. Do something. That's the test. The test of your inquiry is what you do. Not, oh, I don't feel like doing it today. If you've surrendered, if we've got to this point, there's no actual choice. We made the choice a long time ago. And too late to back out now. But that'll happen. That happens. You know, after some years of devotional service, we suddenly decide, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. We get this bright idea. Oh, it's too hard. I think it's too hard. I think I'm... Can I have a... Is there an easy option? No. This is discipline. Discipline means... Disciple means discipline. Discipline means following the order of the spiritual master. Now, in some cases, that means following the order of the representative of the spiritual master. It doesn't mean even the spiritual master himself, personally. It means following his representatives. That means, you know, being told what to do by ordinary devotees. Some of them who are not even as advanced as us. And they're telling us what to do. What a terrible situation. How come Krishna puts me in this situation where I've got to do what this fellow who's not even very advanced tells me what to do? Why did Krishna do that? Well, basically to teach us some humility. You know, if a fool gives you good advice, you should accept it, right? If the message is honest and purely presented and is, you know, effectively what Srila Prabhupada wants or what Krishna wants or what the spiritual master wants, then whoever gives us that instruction, we should accept it. Even if they're not advanced. It's the same instruction. Right? Oh, no, you're not very advanced, so I don't need to be told what to do by you. And usually, that, you know, we only think that because we're puffed up anyway. We don't think we should get instructions from anybody. Or when we get instructions, then we tell the person, no, you got it all wrong. So, practical application of devotional service means basically doing what you're told. Who likes that? Yeah, well, that's because you're telling people what to do. If you're the person telling, you like it. But if you're the person being told, who likes being told what to do? Right? Nobody. What do we feel like saying? Go to hell. And sometimes we do. That's what we say. But that's not, that's, you know, we'll be tested. Our resolve will be tested. Don't be surprised if you're being tested. That's what it's all about. In many respects, we're being tested. My realization, I haven't. You know, as soon as we start thinking, I've got it all down now, worked it all out. Well, watch out. We need Krishna's mercy all the time because we're so prone to making mistakes. So, you know, when we think we're, as Prabhupada says, if we think we're above receiving instructions from the spiritual master, and we have to learn that the spiritual master manifests in the other devotees. We've got service to the... You know, the spiritual master is most pleased when the disciples are all working together cooperatively. Not that they're arguing and fighting. It's so painful when the devotees are arguing and fighting. You know, I think of all of the things that give me pain is when I have to deal with these conflicts between the devotees. Because it's a symptom of Kanishtha. The Majjhimadhikaris makes friends with other devotees. That's his motivation, is make friends with the devotees. He has heaps of friends. Because all of the devotees are his friends. And even if somebody's antagonistic, he's going to try and make friends with that person. Because that's his nature. But the Kanishtha says, oh, this guy is so puffed up. Basically because he's puffed up. And so when the two puffed up devotees come, then they bounce off of each other. Boing. Serve me. I'm the best devotee. And that's the duty. The duty of the junior devotee is to serve the best devotee, so serve me. This is Kanishtha Adhikari. You know? It's me and Krishna. That's all that counts. And so you serve me and you'll make spiritual advancement. Whereas actually the spiritual master doesn't say serve me, actually. He doesn't say serve me, he says serve Krishna. And he says, you serve Krishna by serving the devotees. It's a really important principle. Because of our offensive nature, we actually can't associate with Krishna. So, but Krishna is so kind that he sends his devotees who act as his representatives. And even though we're offensive and we inquire and then we ignore the instructions, which is another offence, right? What's that offence? Gurur Avagya. Isn't it? What's that mean? Third offence. Ignore the spiritual master. We go to the guru and we say, you know, please tell me what you want me to do. Then he tells you what to do. And then we say, yes, I'm going to go away and do that, but then we don't. Or we think we are, but we're not. This is because we're basically an illusion. So you can't do that to Krishna. The residents have been, you know, the Krishna's associates are eternally in the serving mood. That's just their nature. Or that's our nature, actually, that's our nature. But at the moment we're serving the material energy and not serving the spiritual. So that's the really the purpose of inquiry is to know what's what, to see what's really what's going on here. Narada Muni is inquiring from Brahma. What is going on? What is the actual situation? This is the development of sambandha. Right, sambandha gyan. We should know what's what. But then on knowing what's what, we should then act. This is abhidhaya. The purpose of knowledge, the purpose of acquiring knowledge is to then use that understanding, that knowledge, to act properly. Just like this fellow, you know, don't kill yourself. If you know that you're eternal, understand that killing yourself doesn't, and most material activities don't solve problems. Right? They just make it worse. So the purpose of spiritual action, spiritual knowledge, is to know how to act on a spiritual platform, and that'll solve all of our material problems. Even if in the beginning it means there'll be some austerity, tapaha. But that's, you know, that's the quality of the Brahman is to perform austerities. Samodamas tapa socham. Performance of austerities is natural to the Brahminical culture. And the Brahminical culture is characterized by the cultivation and the development of knowledge. Cultivation and development of knowledge and distribution of knowledge. Therefore, that's why we sell books. Although it's interesting here in Melbourne, Prabhupada said, "My books, you think my books are for selling, but actually they're for reading." But you know, you can go the other way and just read the books all the time and do no distribution. That's not good either. Right? Not that we just read and become bookworms. And then we don't actually do any preaching. You can see how Prabhupada was, you know, such a balance in his life. So many hours spent writing books, but then so many hours preaching. So this abhidhaya means knowing how to act. So the inquiry is tested by action. And then also, you know, by how closely one is aligned, how closely one is aligned with the spiritual activities will then nourish and nurture and support and encourage the cultivation of spiritual understanding. By service, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam jainamam apiyanti te tesham evanukampatam mahamma gyanajam tamaha. So, you know, Krishna says, dwelling within the heart, I destroy the darkness of ignorance by the lamp of transcendental knowledge. I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is a central ingredient in, as I mentioned the other day, Prabhupada was in here earlier on. You know, you can go to a university and pay money to get knowledge. But you know, this was Paul Keating's understanding. In fact, he was speaking basically about leadership, and he was speaking to one of the leading figures of the Labour Party in the older, actually he was a leading figure but very controversially, but I think he was expelled from the party at one point, not Paul Keating, his mentor. But his mentor told him, you know what, you need to learn, they don't teach in university, there aren't courses for this. Huh? So you know, what we're doing, you can't pay money to get it. And there's not a course, there is a course at university, it's called the Bhakti Yoga Club. Prabhupada wanted it taught in the university, because this is the knowledge which actually should be taught in the university. But where is the institution that teaches this knowledge? And you know, we actually, the devotees, I was just thinking last night, we're the only people who can really help, like this fellow, you know, what he's thinking about, committing suicide. And he needs to be told, no, don't do that. That's not a solution. Material solutions, and I think in Switzerland, it's legal, is it? You can commit suicide there? Is it in Switzerland you can do that? Or is it Austria?
Austria.
Huh? No, not euthanasia. No, you can. You're allowed. There are some countries where it's legal to kill yourself. I guess it is your choice, but very stupid one. Doesn't solve the problems; just creates more problems. So we want to solve the problems, and initially it may appear as if it's creating more problems, because we get the burden of our sinful reactions coming upon us. But if we engage in devotion, if we inquire from the spiritual master, how can I serve you, and then engage in that service, then very, very quickly that contamination, that influence can be removed. So we need to understand this, the purpose of inquiry. We need to get knowledge. We need to acquire that knowledge. We need to realize that there's gyan and vigyan. So we realize their teachings by putting it into practice. And that's our life's test, actually. So this is Narada Muni is illustrating. And, you know, how we inquire with the right submission, with sincerity, basically, very important. We respect the spiritual master as good as God, but we should also respect anybody who represents the Lord as good as God. That's why we offer our obeisances to everybody. Vancha kalpa turubhyas cha kripa sindubhya eva cha. Right? Kripa sindubhya means what? Ocean of mercy. Kripa sindu. Right? The devotees are oceans of mercy. Why? Because they can fulfill all of our desires. We think, hang on a second, they're always telling me what to do. Well, that's how they do it. They give the mercy through instructions. Huh? They give their mercy through instructions. What is it I was reading over here? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Karaya Aikya. You know, my only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the devotees. Don't do that, you fool! Do it properly! Take your service seriously. Wake up. You know, in one sense, what we have to do is, first of all, wake up. Bhavananda used to say, first of all, become conscious, then Krishna conscious. All right, does anybody have any comments or questions before we have breakfast? It's legal, yeah.
And I was first thinking about so what is the, what would be the illegal consequences of committing suicide? But then I was thinking that we all did commit suicide at some point in the spiritual life. Was it, I mean, in spiritual world, we all did it.
I had the same realization this morning. Yeah, we do things that are antithetical to spiritual progress, not realizing that actually we're committing suicide.
But we did it in the spiritual world. All of us committed suicide. And we continuously committed suicide.
Yeah. Well, that's illusion. We thought we were doing the right thing. But that's illusion. How powerful the material energy is. The and see, the material energy is really turns on that change of consciousness. When we change our consciousness to being a servant, then the material energy stops being material and it starts being spiritual. That's the difference. It looks as if it's material, but actually it's not, when it's used in the Lord's service. So the material creation is based upon our consciousness becoming perverted or, you know, changed. So it's just a matter then of changing it back again to the right status, to the right mood, the right attitude, the service attitude. And Krishna tests that through service to the devotees. Right? And they're not all, you know, oh, Prabhu, please. You know, it's sometimes, get out of bed, you idiot. Wake up. Or Lord Chaitanya said, Jeev Jago, wake up. That's what we've got to do. First of all, wake up. Or as my father used to say to myself, my father used to say, when are you going to wake up to yourself? I used to think, what do you mean, wake up? I'm smarter than you. I discovered later on that actually my father was a lot smarter than me. That's our problem. You think, yeah, I'm smarter than you. You think you are. It's our pride. So pride, you know, usually comes before a fall. Pride. Anything else? Yeah, good point. We commit suicide. But that, yeah. We're habituated to it. Hare Krishna, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Narada Muni ki jai, Lord Brahma ki jai. Question's finished.
No.